The first pasuk in the parasha Vayikra has caught everybody's attention. The first pasuk. Now, in this rendition of the psukim, you don't have the fact that the aleph on the word Vayikra is written in the Sefer Torah as a aleph zira, as a small aleph, and it's not clear where these changes in the orthography of the Torah come from, or what they mean. But the interesting thing is that about this particular change, the Aleph Zeira, is that Rashi doesn't mention it. Rashi often does mention the changes in the writing. You know, sometimes there are dots on letters, and sometimes letters are written big or small. In this case, in every Sefer Torah, the Aleph is an Aleph Zeira. It's small. You can see it. If somebody has, nobody has a Tanakh, but if you had a Tanakh or a Chumash, you would see the Aleph Zeira. This is probably printed from the Bar Ilan. And there the Aleph doesn't exist. But the Pasuk itself is difficult, because the Pasuk says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav mi'ol mo'ed le'mor. So what is Vayikra and Vayidaber? What's the difference between Vayikra el Moshe and Vayidaber Hashem elav? And then it says Mei ohel mo'ed le'mor. Pasuk bet says Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amart alehem Adam ki yakriv lechem v'chulei. Vayidaber Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amart alehem. That's what the second pasuk says. So we're a little confused about the content of the words Vayikra, then Vayidaber, then Daber b'nei Yisrael. So Rashi tries to explain. Rashi tries to handle this problem, and Rashi says this: the chol dibrot, the chol amirot, the chol tzivuyim kadma kriya. Vayikra is a kind of an introductory word. It comes before. It comes before you actually say what you like. You call to Moshe. You say, Moshe, there's an important message about to be delivered from heaven, right? It says, Kol dibrot, kol amirot, kol tzivuyim, kadma kriya. So the word Vayikra is kind of introductory. It comes before the actual conversation. And Rashi says, Lishon Chiba, that it is a word that describes affection between HaKadosh Baruch and whoever's being spoken to. Like here, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra Moshe. It's a word of affection, right? Moshe. Lishon Shemalachei Hashayet Mishtam Shimbo. It's a kind of it's the word that is used by the angels when they speak to God, or when they turn to God, as it says in Yeshayahu, V'kara Zeh El Zeh. Right, we know that line from Kedusha, what we call Kedusha, but that's what they said. They said, Kadosh, 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 the angels in heaven. So if the angels spoke to each other, it says, V'kara Zeh El Zeh, V'kara. That's like Vayikra. Aval Hanavi Umota Olam, but when we speak about a prophet who belongs to the other nations of the world, Bilam, right? Negle Allah b'lashon arai v'tum'ah. There, the word that's used to call his attention to the fact that he's going to get a prophecy is lashon arai v'tum'ah, temporary and unclean. I guess, you know, indicating something bad. Shne'emar, it says with Bilam, Vayikar Elohim el Bilam. Vayikar, it's the same word, Vayikra. It's a short form. So Rashi is sort of explaining why there's an Aleph Zeira. It's sort of like Rashi saying, the Torah wants you to notice that when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, the full word Vayikra is written, and not the shortened word Vayikar. You could say that that's what Rashi says, even though Rashi doesn't mention the Aleph Zeira, right? He doesn't bring it up at all. Okay, that's how Rashi starts. Then Rashi says something interesting. Vayikra el Moshe, Hakol Holech u'magia le'oznav. Hakol Holech, it's like the Rambam. Here Rashi's like the Rambam. Hakol Holech u'magia le'oznav. The voice goes along and comes to his ear. What does Rashi mean to say? It's not like when two people talk to each other. If I speak to you, so you know it's me speaking, it's my voice. But here, it's as though the coal was not God. It was detached from God. It's not like two people talking to each other, kibiyachol. Right? It's like God creates this voice that then goes and is heard by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's sort of like, take a step back. So that's what Rashi means. Rashi says, Akol Holechu Magia Lo'oznav. The voice itself, as though the voice is in the air, and it goes and it gets to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'kol Yisrael Lo Shomim. So Vayikra El Moshe means only Moshe hears. Nobody else hears it. Kol Yisrael Lo Shomim. Yechol Af L'Hafsakot Hayta Kriya. So then the Medrash asked this interesting question. What about Lahafsakot, the spaces in between this parasha and the next parasha? That's a hafsaka. That the Vayikra serves for the hafsakot. Litein revach l'Moshe, litvonein ben parasha l'parasha ben inyan l'inyan. Litein revach l'Moshe. What does Moshe need a revach for? What does Moshe need a space for? Le it bonein bein parasha le parasha ubein inyan le inyan. But Rashi is really describing learning. Learning is not just that you learn by rote whatever you were taught, but that you're able to think about what you learned. And so the Torah is not given all at once to Moshe Rabbeinu, but there are spaces, there are periods of time when the Torah is not being taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what I think Rashi's referring to. Litvonein bein parasha leparasha, bein inyan leinyan. Kal v'chomer lehedyot, alo meid me'ahedyot. That if a regular person is learning b'chavruta with another regular person, it's good that they should have time to think about what they will learn, that they're learning. In other words, you can't just go like a train through the material, but you have to think about it. Okay. Let's skip to May Ohel Moed. You see, the pasuk says Vayikra Moshe v'yedaber Hashem elav May Ohel Moed. Right, May Ohel Moed. From the Ohel Moed. What was the Ohel Moed? The Ohel Moed is a synonym to the word Mishkan, to the building. There was a building, and that building, as I told you, was divided into a larger space and a smaller space, 2/3 and 1/3. And the 1/3 had the Aron HaKodesh in it. And the 2/3 had the menorah and the mizbeach and what else? The shulchan. And the shulchan in it. So when we say that the voice, that God spoke to him, may ohel mo'ed, what does that mean? Where was the voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard? And where was Moshe Rabbeinu? Suddenly this becomes an issue. This becomes an issue of all the parashanim, starting from the Tanaim. Right? So listen to what it says. Me'ol mo'ed. Melameid shaya kol nifsak. Velo haya yotze chutz la'or. There's the first thing. The voice. Remember before Rashi said that only Moshe Rabbeinu heard the voice. And nobody else heard the voice. Now what Rashi says is, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the voice reached Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was it. It didn't go further. It didn't go further than Moshe Rabbeinu. Elo yotze chutz la'ohel. Yachol mipnei shakol namuch. So the Gemara asks, maybe because it was a quiet sound, a quiet voice, so Moshe Rabbeinu heard him, and nobody else could hear it, because he had to be right there to hear it. Yachol namuch. Talmud Lomar, et hakol. Mahu hakol? Hu hakol hamfarash betilim. What kol is it that we're talking about? Kol Hashem bekoach. Kol Hashem bahadah. We all know that pasuk. Kol Hashem shover arazir is a powerful sound. In Cain, lama ne'amar mei ohel mo'ed. Since it was a powerful voice, and it could have been heard at a great distance, from this you learn that the voice that Moshe Rabbeinu heard came to a stop, and it was powerful, but only Moshe Rabbeinu heard it. No one else heard that voice. There's another example that in Yechezkel says, Kol Kanfei HaKruvim. Remember there were Kruvim, cherubs on top of the Aron, and they had wings, and they flapped their wings in the vision of Yechezkel. And then it was Nishma, you can hear them, Ad HaChatzer Chitzona. Maybe because it didn't make a lot of noise. Talmud lomar ki kol el shaddai bedabro im keilam neimar ad hechatzer chitzona shekeivan shemagi yeshav ayelif sak. So they had another example. Rashi had another example. A powerful voice reaching a certain point, and then beyond that point, you couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear the voice. So that's the first thing, that there was a miracle inside of a miracle, right? The miracle of God's voice was the first miracle. And the second miracle was that it only went up to Moshe Rabbeinu. But we still don't know the answer to the question of what does me ohel mo'ed mean? Rashi, me ohel mo'ed, yechol mikol habayit. Maybe it's the entire house there. Talmud lomar, me'ala kaporet. No, it came out. What is the kaporet? You remember? With what? It's the cover of the aron, right? The aron was covered by some. The aron didn't have doors, but the last thing that they put on the aron was the cover of it, the top of it, and the top of it was made in a special way. It looked special. And so after they put things in the aron from the top, you had to put it in the top, they put on the kaporet, and that was the end. It was covered. It would never be uncovered, never be uncovered again. So it says, Mei ohel mo'ed lemor, yachol mikol habayit. Maybe the voice came from, it was stereophonic or something, it came from all kinds of places in the ohel mo'ed, yachol. No, Talmud lomar me'ala kaporet. It came from me'al hakaporet. It didn't come from every place. Yachol me'al hakaporet kula. So maybe the voice came from the entirety of the kaporet, right? You couldn't tell. It came from here, it came from there. So the Medrash says, Talmud lomar, mibein shnei hakruvim. Again, there were two cherubs that were attached to the aron, and the voice came from in between these two cherubs. That means not from the entire kaporet, but from a place on the kaporet. Lemor, say lemor lem divrei kibushim. Go and speak to them give them solace. Divrei kibushim b'shvil chem hu nidbarim. For you, God is speaking to me. Shekein matzinu shekol shloshim u'shmona shana shayu Yisrael b'midbar kiminudim, that all the 38 years that Bnei Yisrael spent in the desert, and they were minudim, minam raglim ve'elach, and they were sort of set aside. They weren't included. They were in cherem. Minam raglim ve'elach lo neyached hadibur im Moshe. God did not speak directly to Moshe, sheneemar, vayhi kasher tamu kol anshei ha-milchama lamut vayidaber Hashem elai leimor elai hu adibur. That's what happened. Davar acher, tsei ve'emor lehem divarai ve'shiveini im yikablum. Go and say to them what I taught you, and tell me if they accepted. Kemoshe ne'emar v'yashav Moshe divrei et divrei ha'am. So Rashi says that the voice came to Moshe Rabbeinu from me'al ha'kaporet through the kruvim, and this voice was not exactly the voice of it was a special voice that taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu went and taught that Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So the Medrash says this, Say Amolem Direi Kibushim, go and speak to them in a kind of a soft tone. Say nice things to them. Bishvilchem hu nidbar imi. Moshe Rabbeinu should say to Bnei Yisrael, God speaks to me for you. Because if it was not for you, God wouldn't even speak to me. There would be no reason. So he says, all the 38 years that they spent in the desert, there was no special conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for him, for Moshe Rabbeinu. All the conversations were Torah. And that's why every place in the Torah says, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el bnei Yisrael." It was all Torah. So every time God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was for the benefit of bnei Yisrael. So that during those 38 years, they're receiving the Torah, but they know that they're being punished. They're all in Cherem. They're wandering around the desert. They're not happy with their situation. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he tells them, your situation is bad, but all of this, these conversations that take place between God and myself about the Torah, it's all for you. It's all for you, it's not for me. For me, I have not spoken except especially with God since the Chet HaMeraglim. It's only why I speak to God about you. Okay? That's Lo Nityachei V'Adibur. So, Rashi seems to indicate, I said, where does the voice that Moshe Rabbeinu hears, where does it come from? Comes from Me'ala Kaporet, Mibena Kruvim. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu standing when he hears the voice, according to Rashi? Does Rashi indicate where he is standing?
Close to the Kruvim, no?
What?
Yeah. Close to the Kruvim.
What do you mean close to the Kruvim?
No.
Well, he's close enough to know that the voice is coming, Mi Beina Kruvim.
Right.
I think. But Rashi doesn't... No?
Why love the Afghan?
That's what the Mishkan.
Right. No. That's what the Kosva Shlishi is, Makriya Beinehem. It's like the wiring...
Well, we didn't get to the Ketuvah Shlishi. Rashi here didn't mention it.
Right.
But I think that it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu would knows two things, that the voice comes in Beit HaKruvim and that the voice is Nifsak, that he's the only one who can hear it. No one else can hear the voice. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi does not deal with the question of where Moshe Rabbeinu was standing. He could be standing anywhere and somehow know all these things. Or he could always be standing close enough to the Kruvim that he would know, to the Kaporet, that he'd know that the voice is coming through the Kaporet. Otherwise, he wouldn't know. But maybe he doesn't have to know. Maybe it's just the Pasuk is telling us.
When you say no one else would hear it, it means even if they were standing next to him, no one else would hear the voice?
They're standing behind him, I guess. The voice stopped at him.
Okay.
That's what Rashi says.
Right. I mean, this was probably wondrous to all of generations of Jewry up until the current generation of children. When you talk about using a cell phone with a headset, right, it's obvious you can be talking to somebody who's far away and having a conversation with you and nobody else hears.
Oh. But the text, right? But
there's a rabbi in our midst. He's able to make it current.
No, I'm just saying that the kids that wouldn't see this as a Pella.
I have a simple question.
When I was a kid, I would say it's a Pella.
I'm saying me too.
So when you have Ma'ol Moed, are we talking about the whole Mishkan, or are we talking about not the whole Mishkan? Okay. Last week's Parsha, so we had the Mishkan,
it says
Ma'ol specific in the Mishkan.
Yeah, it comes from the Mishkan, which doesn't answer the question of where was Moshe Rabbeinu standing.
I understand, but then the Ma'ol Moed is not referring to the whole Mishkan, or it is?
No, it is. Generally, it's the whole Mishkan, but Rashi says, but we know that the voice came from Me'al HaKaporet, which is in the Kodesh Kodeshim. And now the question is, where was Moshe Rabbeinu?
It would seem he didn't have to be in one specific place, because otherwise, how would he know to go to that place to hear the voice? Okay. He only knows once the voice starts.
So we'll see. So there are two relevant psukim at the end of Shemot. The first is Perek Hafei Pasuk Kavet. It says, this is Mishpatim, V'no'adeti lecha sham, no'adeti, I will meet up with you there, in that place, V'dibarti itecha me'al hakaporet, and I will speak to you from above the kaporet. So it sounds like, so where is sham? Where is Sham? I mean, it's a pronoun, but where could it be? No, if God says, I will speak to you from above the Kaporet, so that sounds like a meeting place. God is describing where they might meet each other. Mibein shnei akruvim, in between these two kruvim, asher al aron ha'idut, et kol asher tzavel tchal b'nei Yisrael. So the rest of the pasuk is clear. But what does that mean? No adati lecha sham. V'dibarti itcha me'al hakaporet mibein shnei akruvim. What is the sham in that pasuk? So Rashi says, v'no adati shekba mo'ed lecha ledaber imach. I will determine a time. We'll meet at a certain time. And I will speak to you. Oto makom ekba limo'ed she'avo sham ledaber elecha. Oto makom ekba. I will determine the place where we will meet when I will speak to you. Right. So Rashi doesn't explain yet where Sham might be. V'dibarti itcha me'al hakaporet. Listen now. This is the famous Rashi, or the Rashi that is well known, because it repeats. Rashi repeats it three times. This idea. He says makom acher. Dibarti itcha me'al hakaporet. Makom acher omer. Vayikra Aleph Aleph, it says in my text, which means our pasuk, the pasuk we just learned. It says, Vedaber Hashem Elav Mei Ohel Lemoed Leimor. So Rashi says, what's Ohel Moed in that sentence? Zeha Mishkan Michutz LaParochet. Mishkan is equals Ohel Moed, right? The same thing. What's the Parochet? What's the parochet? It divides up the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim. Right? So, michutz laparochet means that he's in the bigger room. He's not in the smaller room with the Aron Kodesh, which has the kaporet, where the voice is coming, but he's in the bigger room, outside. Zeh mishkan michutz laparochet nimtzu shnei ktuvim makrishim ze et ze. Because this pasuk says v'adit hasham v'dibarti itach me'al hakaporet, that where should Moshe Rabbeinu be standing? In the smaller room, so he can hear the voice that comes me'al hakaporet. And in the beginning of Vayikra it says, me'ohel mo'ed le'mor, me'ohel mo'ed. What's ohel mo'ed? That's the other side of the parochet, according to Rashi. Here you go. So these two psukim seem to be contradictory. The pasuk of Vayikra says, Me'ohel Moed, and the pasuk here in Shemot says Sham, which is the Kaporet. How could it be? A pasuk in Bamidbar. What does it say? Before Moshe, Ohel Moed. So So you have like a pasuk, a third pasuk, which has both of these things written in the same pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Ohel Moed, like the beginning of Vayikra, right? Vayishma et hakol midaber lav mi'al ha'kaporet, like the pasuk in Shemot, in the same pasuk. So what looked like pasukim makhishim zeh et zeh, they are no longer makhishim zeh because they're in the same pasuk. The two ideas, the two places. So he says, Moshe haya nichnas Rashi. Moshe haya nichnas al mishkan. Vekevan sheba betoch ha-petach. Kol yoreid min ha-shamayim lebein ha-kruvim. U'misham yosei v'nishvan Moshe ba'ol mo'ed. So where's Moshe standing? Where's Moshe? Moshe's called. We have an appointment, 2 o'clock. You're going to meet up with God to learn the next parasha of the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu goes in, starts walking into the Ohel Moed. There was like a door, must have been some kind of an opening in the Ohel. So he walks into the door and he hears the voice coming from the Bein HaKruvim. Right. So where is he? He's in Ohel Moed, and where is he not? He's not Sham. He's not Sham where the Kaporet is. Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. U'misham yotzei b'nishma l'Moshe be'ol mo'ed be'ol mo'ed. Okay, so I don't know exactly. It turns out that it's not really two ketuvim machishim zeh et zeh, but it's two ways of describing the same event. There are two things you could say. You could say Moshe Rabbeinu was standing, or you could say Moshe Rabbeinu was hearing. So if you say Moshe Rabbeinu was standing, then the correct words to use are Ohel Moed, Mei Ohel Moed, Be Ohel Moed. He was like, just walked into Ohel Moed, he heard the voice. And the other way of saying it is that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the voice, Kami Me'al HaKaporet, Be'Bein HaKruvim. But it's really the same. That's what Rashi says. So that the idea of Shnei Ketuvim HaMachishim Zeh is just confusion. Like, it confuses us a little bit. Now we've straightened it out, because there's a pasuk which includes both of these parameters in the same pasuk. One more pasuk. Vayechasa, not pasuk, Shmot paragraph. This is the last pasuk in Shmot, right? This one here. Vayechasa, Anan, and Ohel Moed. Anan covered up Ohel Moed. Kvod Hashem alei et ha-mishkan. Kvod Hashem is a way of saying, what did I see? What did the people see? They saw an anan, a cloud. But what did they know? That this was not a regular cloud. That this cloud was Kvod Hashem. Right? They knew that. How did they know? I don't know. But they looked up and they said, this cloud is not a regular cloud. This cloud represents the presence of God in the Mishkan. The pasuk lamed hey, v'lo yachol Moshe lavo el ol moed, ki shachan alav ha'anan, u'kvod Hashem alei et ha'mishkan. So it says, Adarabba, Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into the ol moed when God's presence was there, because that's the conflict, that's the tartan sasha. God's presence is in the ol moed, no one could go in. That's what it says. V'lo yechol Rashi, lo yechol Moshe lavo el ol moed. U'katuv echad omer, bevo Moshe el ol moed. Oh, now this is a real contradiction, right? You see, if you turn over the page, Bamidbar. You see the pasuk of Bamidbar at the top of the page, bevo Moshe el ol moed, l'daber ito, bevo Moshe. Right? Let's go back to our Rashi. Ketuv echad omer ba Moshe l'ol moed, ba ketuv ha-shlishi v'chriya b'nehem, ki shechein alav ha-anan, the anan, the cloud is upon it, emor me'ata, kol zman sheya alav ha-anan, lo ya yechol avo. As long as the anan was on the ol moed, he couldn't go in. Mistalega anan bechnas umedaber imo. So now we have a new contradiction. Because before Rashi said that Moshe Rabbein didn't really nechnas, he just got into the doorway. Did you remember that? Moshe haya nechnas la mishkan vekeivan sheba betoch ha-petach. You see it? The previous Rashi, three lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is sheba betoch ha-petach. Right, what does that sound? We say sheba betoch ha-petach. That he didn't really get very far. He just got to the doorway. Right? But here, Rashi says, no. Rashi says, if the Anan was on the oil moed, then Moshe couldn't go in. But Nistaleka Anan nechnas. Uvedaberimo. So that's sort of like the Anan came down and rested on the oil moed, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was being called, so he walked over, but he couldn't go in. But then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to speak to him, the Anan went up, disappeared, and Moshe Rabbeinu went in. So still we haven't sort of solved the problem. We have not solved the problem. So I think that... I would like to learn the Ramban, but I want to learn what Rav Nachman has to say even more. Let's learn this pasuk, the Rashi of this pasuk. Bamidbar Perek Zayin Pasuk Pei Tet. The Bevo Moshe Elohim Moed the Daber Ito Vayishma Dakol Medaber Elav Me'ala Kaporet Asher Al Aron Ha'idut Mevein Shnei Kruvim Vayidaber Elav. So we don't know any longer how far in did Moshe Rabbeinu go to the Ohel Moed. The Rashi that we just learned seemed to say that if there's no Anan, Moshe Rabbeinu could have gone in, just gone in and out at will. It's only when the Anan was there that he couldn't go in. So Rashi says, "Bevo Moshe, shnei k'tuvim achishim zeh." Again, the same story. Vashli shiva chriya b'nehem. K'tuv echad omer, "Vayidaber Hashem elav mei ohel moed, v'hu chutz la parochet." He was outside of the parochet, right? Parochet. V'k'tuv echad omer, "V'dibarti itcha mei al hakaporet, v'zeh v'zis v'chriya b'nehem." Moshe ba'alol mu'ed, v'sham shomet hakol abba me'ala par akaporet. So now, the only thing that we don't understand is why, according to Rashi, did the Torah have to mix us up in this way? Why do you need confusion that is going to be straightened out by... So if you look carefully at the parasha of Matan Torah, look, there's a difference, because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, you remember the people were at the bottom of the mountain, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up with Yeshua and Aaron. They all went a certain distance, but only Moshe Rabbeinu continued and went into the cloud, which represented Kavod Hashem. So all of this means, what this means is that the Torah is hinting at a change in the status of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is reflective of the change in the status of Am Yisrael. That Am Yisrael, you see, Rashi says those words. Rashi says, it's a chutz la ohel. One second. May Ohel Moed. Kol Hashem Mekoach. Here. I'm sorry. May Ohel Moed Lemor. See, May Ohel Moed Lemor. That's from the bottom of the first Rashi's. First Rashi 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. Seve emor lehem divrei kibushim. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, say things that will give them some solace. Bishvilchem hu nidbar imi. God speaks to me, Moshe Rabbeinu, for your sake. Shekein matzinu, shekol shloshim ushbon shana shayu Yisrael b'midbar kim minudim. All the 38 years that Bnei Yisrael were in the desert, They were kind of in cherem. They were set aside. History stopped for them. They didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't get to build the Beit HaMikdash. Nothing. They were just in place, going around in a circle in the desert. Min HaMeraglim Ve'elach. And this was the result of the Chet HaMeraglim, according to Rashi. Lo Netyached Adibur Im Moshe. All of that time, God did not actually speak to Moshe about Moshe. Shenemar Vayika Shetamu Kol Hashem Nuchama Lamut Vayidaber Hashem Elai L'mor. That was in the 40th year, or the 38th year of wandering, the 40th year since Yitziat Mitzrayim, then God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means that even though Moshe Rabbeinu himself certainly did not sin in the Chet HaMeraglim or the Chet HaEgel, nevertheless, the fact that his people, the people that he was responsible for, the people that he was supposed to kind of make worthy of Mekabel et HaTorah, the fact that he was in some way unsuccessful, by the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, let's start over again. I'll make you the father of a great nation, and we'll start over again, and you'll teach your children, and it'll work out better. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that to Moshe Rabbeinu indicates that there was a change in the status of in Moshe Rabbeinu's own status. He wasn't the same. And you see, Rashi says, God did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. God taught B'nai Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. But he, so to speak, did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu about things that were supposedly happening, about what would be and what would not be. Moshe Rabbeinu lost status, so that if it is true that the Ohel Moed was kind of a imitation of or a reflection of Matan Torah, which consisted of Moshe Rabbeinu going up on the mountain and entering into the cloud, right, which represented the presence of God, and learning Torah 40 days and 40 nights, that was no longer the case. Moshe Rabbeinu was not in the cloud, but Moshe Rabbeinu was prevented by the cloud from entering the Ohel Moed and receiving the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu kind of was, instead of the Torah telling us in an obvious manner, that Moshe Rabbeinu had lost some of the qualities that made him Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells this to us in this way, that it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu was here, and it was not so clear. Shnei Ketuvim Machrishim Zedzeh. There are two psukim. This is the way the Torah tells the story. It doesn't want to tell us about Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't want to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer exactly Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Torah tells us, it's not clear. Like, where was he standing? And where was the voice? And who? What was it that he was hearing? This is the kind of confusion that covers up the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, representing Am Yisrael at Har Sinai, was on one level of reception, of receiving the Torah. But in the desert for 38 years, somehow he had become the Torah event of learning from God had been reduced somewhat and made less clear, because B'nai Yisrael were no longer worthy of getting the unadulterated Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. So that there was, in the words of Sab Achronim, and this was the opening to mistakes. I mean, the reason people make mistakes about what the Torah wants, the reason of the lack of clarity, is because at the end of the day, they were not worthy of receiving the Torah of clarity, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not receive the Torah of clarity. To finish, I'd like to just, I'm not sorry. I'm just a little bit in a hurry because I have to go to Sheva Brachos with my grandson. If I don't show up, everybody will be angry at me and say that I have no feelings for the joy of the event, which might actually be true, but I don't want people to say that. What? The Lo Nachon. Okay, the Kuti Moran. Listen to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says this. Dashi yesh b'kol dor v'dor ro'eh v'hu b'chinat Moshe shaya ra'aya mehem ra'aya mehem ro'eh ne'eman. He was a shepherd of faith, a faithful shepherd. Shur ra'aya mehem that's Moshe. V'zeh ro'eh hu oseh mishkan. And this shepherd is the one who made the mishkan. Vida shetinokot shel Beit Rabban, that tinokot shel Beit Rabban, those are little children in the cheder, very very little tinokot shel Beit Rabban, mikablin hevel pihen she'ein bo chet mizeh mishkan. The Gemara says where they're building the mishkan. When they were building the Mishkan, nothing stopped. They kept doing whatever they did, except on Shabbos, except for Hevel Pihem Shel Tinoko Shel Beit Rabban. It was the ultimate purity in the world is Tinoko Shel Beit Rabban. So I always thought that meant, you take little children and you learn Chumash with them. You say, Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim es haaretz. It's not a problem. You tell children, and they say, yeah, that must be exactly what happened. And you tell adults, they say, what does Bereishis mean? And what does bara mean? And how does it happen? And what happened? How do we know? How do we know it's true? But Tinokot shel Beit Rabban have that ultimate naivete. You know, they're very accepting of things. And then when they speak, that's Hevel Pihem Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. They repeat with great faith what it is that the Chumash says. V'da Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban Mechavim Hevel Pihem Shein Bochet Mizah Mishkan. And it's only because there is a Mishkan that there could be Hevel Pihem Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. While Cain, Hatinok, Shematchil Likro Likanes Batara, this little child, you teach him Aleph Beis, and he starts saying Psukim in the Torah, Umatchil Min Vayikra El Moshe. This is the tradition, right? Little children, you take them to the cheder, and you give them gooey candy, and they used to stick the gooey candy on the chumash, and then the kid would go and lick up the candy. What?
Dvash.
Oh, dvash. Well, gooey candy has dvash in it. Mm-hmm. In those days, it had to be natural. It couldn't be something synthetic. But the idea is, it's like an act of love. Of course, it's an act of love for the candy. Mm-hmm. But that's what they did. Vayikra Moshe, Shehu Aleph Zeira. And this is the meaning of the little Aleph. Ki vayikra midaber migmar hakamat hamishkan, because after all, vayikra, the parasha vayikra comes right after the mishkan was completed in the end of Shemot. Sha'az kira'o Hashem yitbarach v'itchil idaber imo mi'amishkan. That's when God calls Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him to start speaking to him from the mishkan. Okay, misham matchilim atinokot. So the Torah, as we know it, is connected to the Mishkan through Moshe Rabbeinu. We receive the Torah, and when we have a child, we have a child learning, starting to learn. We want him to connect to that. Okay, misham matchilim atinokot. Misham mekablim hevel piyem. Now that's where they get the hevel piyem. That the breath that comes out of their mouths is somehow filled with the sanctity. Hevel pihem umisham matchilim likrot ulikanes litocha haTorah, and that's where they begin to go into the Torah. So if you look again at the beginning of this paragraph,
I'm sorry. What's the olive zeira?
That's the little olive.
No, I know, but where how does that fit into this?
It's like the kids.
That's the representative?
One?
What he says, Shehu Aleph Ze'ira, Ki Vayikra, what is the direct noun that he's referring to?
No, I think what he's saying is that the Vayikra is universal. It says Vayikra El Moshe, but it's not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu alone, but it's talking about the Moshe Rabbeinu in every door. That's what he says. So he says at the beginning, Dash Yesh B'chol Dor V'Dor Ro'eh. That's in every generation. There's always Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Aleph Ze'ira comes to make a remez, that the word Vayikra is not only that God called out to Moshe Rabbeinu, but God calls out to the Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation who is obligated to somehow take care of education of all the children. Of all the children that are there, and to create this Hevel Piyem Shel Tinokos Shel Beit Rabban. So that what Rav Nachman is saying, and this was very much in the language that he used all the time, is that in spite of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was compromised by Bnei Yisrael, those Bnei Yisrael were not totally accepting of the Torah in a proper way. And so not only was their punishment to wander around the desert for 38 years, but their punishment was that they were not able to absorb the Torah in a proper manner. They were somehow minudim, they were in cherim, they were excommunicated from God. They were in the desert, which is no place, wandering around, going no place, and getting no place. And they received the Torah in a kind of truncated manner. Even though to us it doesn't seem that way, but that's what Rashi kind of taught us, that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer able to be the Moshe Rabbeinu of the original Matan Torah, which was rejected by Bnei Yisrael. In spite of all that, he says, we can't live without a Moshe Rabbeinu who could at least get us to the level of the Mishkan, which enables us to hear the word of God through Moshe Rabbeinu, albeit in a less impressive manner, which then in turn allows for the Tinokos Shel Beis Rabban, for all the children, to produce this Hevel Pihem, which is of such great significance because they accept the Torah in a way that Bnei Yisrael were unable to accept the Torah. In other words, there is an acceptance of the Torah that takes you out of the limited situation that Bnei Yisrael were in. Bnei Yisrael somehow didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "You want to go up and get the Torah?" They said, "No, you go. You go. We'll wait here. We'll wait here." Which contradicts that other idea from Megillas Esther, you know, that they accepted in Purim even more than they accepted at Har Sinai. Right? Even more than they accepted at Har Sinai, because Har Sinai, God said, "You want the Torah?" Who's going to say no? But it says beferish that Bnei Yisrael said, "Well, we want the Torah, but we don't want to be actively involved in receiving the Torah. It's a little frightening for us." So already they indicated that they were not capable of mustering up the energy that it was necessary in order to be proper recipients of the Torah. So on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is affected by this. On the other hand, Rav Nachman said that Moshe Rabbeinu remained the model of educational leadership throughout Jewish history. And the Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who builds the Mishkan in his generation and enables the children to receive the Torah with purity. Okay. I didn't mean what I said.